From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the third day of December 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Verisun plans to cancel nearly all its contracts for corn delivery through the month of January. Mosaic Company says fertilizer sales are soft, and the melamine scandal in China has taken a heavy toll on that nation's ability to export food products. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then I'll tell you about the Illinois Ag Econ Summit scheduled for later this month. And in about 26 minutes, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens as we finish up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lerner Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lerner Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
The numbers in Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon finished like this from the Board of Trade. Nearby wheat futures finished the December contract at $5.75, down 9 cents. The March at 5.19¾, 8¾ lower. And the May wheat down 9 at 5.33¼ for the soft red. July 5.46¼, the harvest month, down 9¼. Kansas City wheat at 5.29½, down 8. And Minneapolis at 5.88, down 2. December corn futures down 0.5 cent today. 3.32 the settlement price. March contract at 3.48¼, unchanged. May down 0.25 at 3.59¼. And July at 3.69¾, down 1/4. December corn futures 3.94, down 3/4. December oats at 205½, a penny lower. January beans up 3 cents at $8.30. The March at 8.35 a bushel, up 0.5. May futures down a penny at 8.43, and July at 8.51¼, down 1¾. November soybeans $8.54¾ for next year, a penny and a quarter lower. December bean meal at 2.48, a $1.90 higher. December bean oil up 14 at 30.28. From the Mercantile Exchange today, live cattle 83.82½, 52½ cents higher. Feeder cattle at 88.35, down 65, and lean hogs at 57.57½. 80 cents lower on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. January crude oil futures at $46.50, down 46 cents. February at $48.75 a barrel, 32 cents higher. Ethanol trading at $1.59, or rather $1.55, 2 cents lower for the December contract. January at $1.55 3/10, that's 4 tenths of a cent lower. Natural gas at $6.35 9/10, down 6½ cents. RBOB gasoline at $1.03 9/10, down 1 8/10 for the day. January heating oil, diesel fuel at $1.58 6/10, up just about 3 tenths. And the February heating oil unchanged at $1.61. January propane at 65 6/10 cents, up to, or rather down 2 1/10 cents. And the gold futures at 7.68.80, down $12.50. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands for the day at 84.92, just about 73 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 86.92, up 0.39. And the CRB index this afternoon at 226.55 is down 2.32. Here's what the weather forecast says. A winter weather advisory is in effect for northwestern Illinois, that until 6 o'clock central tonight, and for north central and northeastern Illinois until midnight. Tonight in northeastern and western, or northwestern rather, in west central Illinois, mostly cloudy skies. Snow will taper to flurries. Elsewhere in northern and central Illinois and in northern Indiana, snow during the evening hours tapering off overnight. In central Indiana, rain changing to snow. In the south, rain showers mixing with and changing to snow showers in some locations. That'll happen well after midnight. Lows will range from 9 in the far northwestern parts of Illinois, says Ed Kieser, to 29 in the far south. Tomorrow in the north, mostly cloudy, scattered snow showers and flurries. In central sections, a mix of clouds and sunshine, a few flurries. In the south, mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow from 21 in northwestern Illinois to 37 in the south.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural futures markets. Paul Cooley with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, is on the line today. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
You're staying warm there in Oakland?
It's a nice, cool, chilly day in east central Illinois. Kind of overcast.
Well, it is kind of. It was a little overcast and ugly, but hopefully you've got the warm boots out and the good coat, and you're staying a bit warm. You know, as you looked at the marketplace, it sort of looked like a marketplace of old. Didn't really move around too much today, did it?
Yeah, that's a blessing. Probably a big blessing. You know, there are people starting to predict the stock market, having signs of a bottom. We are, coming into a time of year where the market has been beat up to a great extent, not only in the grain market, but also the energy stock and crude oil. When we have meetings out here in the prairie, we note, and it's interesting that people do talk about the dollar, the stock market, and crude oil having such a tremendous influence on commodities. We continue to think, we think we are still seeing commodity liquidation by commodity funds. We think that's one reason why we saw soybeans get beat up so bad yesterday. And, of course, this crude oil corn connection and soybean oil connection is still very much alive. It is apparent that OPEC isn't managing their business very well by restricting production. Iran and also Venezuela are the two major problems in that sector. So as long as crude oil goes down, it does have a tendency to weaken corn and soybeans.
Just as a reminder, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. You can hear the analysis segments, if you'd like, on our website at willag.org or the beginning section of it anytime you'd like on a telephone system. We call it our mobile analyst portal. The number is 217-333-3434. This afternoon, we're talking with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. I believe, Paul, that you and Wayne Nelson were over at the Bi-State Annual Convention at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana yesterday. What was the mood?
Well, it was somber, but we had a lot of wonderful questions, and we did have some polls, and, you know, there is a feeling that I'm going to say 30% of the farmers are going to plant less corn next year. We do get the feeling that the fertilizer industry is in a state of chaos. It's overpriced, and everybody knows it. We get the feeling that if it was left to the farmers for a big bailout on the car companies, it probably wouldn't pass. We get the feeling that, there's still a lot of marketing and concern about just how bad it's going to get. The upbeat mood, of course, is when we discuss about the EPA basically going to increase the blend by law. The energy mandate is the big bright spot in the corn market. The big factor here, I think, more than anything else, is that half the group feel the stock market's going to be above 9,000 or higher next year, and the other half feel that we're going to have a lower stock market a year from now. And I thought that was an interesting feeling from the community about just what they think the mood of the country, and what better way to test it is what's your feeling of the stock market.
Tell me more about the chaos in the fertilizer industry. I would assume that most of that is because the industry itself, I'm guessing, booked a great deal of fertilizer at much higher prices, but farmers aren't willing to pay that, nor could they pay it at this point and actually derive a profit from their corn acres.
Well, and there is also this deal about there's a big drop in some locations, the bid ask at certain places on the delivery end or port of entry, and what the domestic central Illinois price is. We're talking about big bucks, and there's no good way to hedge that except move it out into inventory. And what we're basically seeing is that there is tremendous problems here with the fertilizer industry. And, you know, the bottom line is that there's a big difference between what the real price is and what the real price should be.
It's supposedly interesting to watch and see how that one plays out in the industry and whether we lose any big players or not in the process, or whether it just gets absorbed over time.
But one bright spot that we did talk about, of course, is crop insurance, and the crop insurance is going to pay a pretty big dividend. We do think that, you know, there's going to be inflation down the road, not just little inflation, but big inflation. And we also get the feeling that this supply-demand is pretty stable, pretty tight, and, you know, we do think the final crop production report is going to be smaller. So there is some things to give the farmer hope for, but the problem is getting now until April or May for the better prices. You know, if have to do any selling between now and the next 30 days, you're picking probably a pretty depressed time.
A little later in this program, we'll hear from Darrell Good. I had a discussion with him. This is from a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago, but it's still valid today. He talked about the new plateau for prices for corn and soybeans, and his suspicions that it will be maintained. Was there a discussion about how low or high prices might go yesterday?
Well, we did have a big talk about the land prices in central Illinois, and sometimes there's a no sale, but we hear 30 minutes later that behind the closed door that it's usually sold. But the general feeling is that from the panel anyway, and from conversation after it, it's pretty firm unless corn does go below $3 a bushel. We are picking up another thing that's extremely significant is that there's major economic problems in South America, particularly with the Brazilian farmer. He's behind on his payments on farm machinery. Mm-hmm. He's behind on his payments to the fertilizer people, and they're in tremendous need of capital. And without fertilizer and new machinery, it's awful hard to raise bin-busting yields, and you add a little salt and pepper with dry weather. It could also be some interesting time. So we understand that it's not just the U.S., but it's worse in other parts of the world, and that's the interesting part of the equation.
Any final word from you before I let
you go?
Have
a profitable day, Todd. It's always fun to talk to you, and a lot of good listeners out there that listen to WILL.
All right. Thanks much, Paul.
Have a good one.
Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Just a couple of reminders as we head into the newscast. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with all of that information. But please do visit our website. The address is willag.org. Dave writes a really good weekend newsletter, and it's free. You just hit subscribe over at willag.org. You can listen to our programs there if you'd like. And you can sign up to have them delivered to your computer as a podcast automatically. It's all at willag.org. And if you don't have the computer but you missed our daily analysis for the future segments, we update at about 9:15 and 3:15 on our telephone system. The number is 217-333-3434. Now here's Dave with the Ag News.
In agricultural news, bankrupt ethanol maker Vera Sun Energy Corporation says it will cancel nearly all its contracts to buy corn for its U.S. bioenergy plants for deliveries through January. North Dakota-based Vera Sun, the nation's largest publicly traded ethanol maker, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in October. U.S. bankruptcy judge Brendan Shannon said he would approve a process that would give Vera Sun 10 business days before delivery to cancel its corn purchase contracts. Mosaic Company says its fiscal second quarter fertilizer sales were soft, a condition that is expected to continue into the third quarter. The Plymouth, Minnesota company also said it is withdrawing its sales forecasts for the balance of 2009, citing market uncertainty. Phosphate sales volumes for the second quarter ending November 30th were about 1.3 million tons, or about 800,000 tons lower than the prior quarter. The U.S. Secretary of Agriculture today says he is confident an outline deal for the Doha Round of Trade Talks could be completed yet this year. Ed Schaefer says, quote, much progress has been made over the last 2 months, certainly with the help of the Chinese negotiators as well as Brazil. Meanwhile, the director of the WTO says a meeting of ministers to try to secure a breakthrough in the Doha round is possible around December 13th to 15th. But senior U.S. lawmakers warned yesterday against rushing into a meeting that fails to open up markets sufficiently to satisfy U.S. businesses. The U.S. wants big emerging countries like Brazil, India, and China to remove barriers to imports. And China's state press reports today that international confidence in Chinese food exports has dived since the scandal erupted over contaminated milk in China, with dairy items the worst affected. China exported just over 1,000 tons of dairy products in October, down 92% from a year earlier. The growth in exports of meat and other agricultural products from a major port in eastern China fell to 1.9% in October, from an average of 15% in the first 9 months of the year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can listen to our daily futures analysis, weather segments, the news reports, and complete programs, including the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. It's all at willag.org. And if you just can't get to the internet, don't worry. We have another way for you to access our programs right there on your telephone. The number is 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. You can hear daily updates at 9:15 and 3:15 from the futures segments. That's at 217-333-3434. Up next, the University of Illinois Farm Doc team is preparing to hit the road for its annual December summits. I'll have more on the summits and why farmers should register today. The agricultural economists at the University of Illinois will make their annual trek around the state the week before Christmas. I'll be there each and every day as the MC, along with Professors Paul Illinger, Daryl Good, Scott Irwin, Gary Schnitke, Bruce Sherrick, Nick Paulson, and Extension Farm Management Specialist Dale Latz. Daryl Good says the December 16 kickoff in southern Illinois will start a week's worth of travel for the team.
We will. We'll be starting in Mount Vernon on December 16th, then moving to Bloomington, Galesburg, and Sycamore the 4 days of that week. We've got a full-day program scheduled addressing a lot of the current issues that's being generated by the concerns in the financial market and its implications for agriculture. Encourage folks to go to our FarmDoc website and get registered for those seminars.
The website address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. Again, that's www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. The registration fee includes all the materials and the lunch. The program starts at 8 o'clock in the morning and runs through 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This year's theme is the profitability of Illinois agriculture, looking ahead in extraordinary times. Good says the program is aimed primarily at farmers, but others are certainly encouraged to attend.
This is primarily a producer-oriented meeting, but certainly we would expect folks who are in business with farmers, lenders, ag suppliers, those type of folks, to be interested in the material. And in the past, we've had a lot of participation from those sectors and would hope that they would find value again this year.
The 2008 Illinois Farm Economics Summits include the following topics: outlook for crop and livestock prices, crop values and volatility in a new era, credit impacts on the financial crisis, prospects for crop production costs, Illinois farm income outlooks, and the new farm bill, analyzing your options, crop insurance decisions, and prospects for land values and leases. The summits will take place the week before Christmas at four sites around the state of Illinois. Registration information and details can be found online at the FarmDoc website. That's farmdoc.uiuc.edu. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Couple of notes here. If you're wanting to attend those economic summits that kick off on the 16th in Mount Vernon, we'll be on the road all week, remember. Across the state of Illinois, you can register online. The cost through December the 8th, that's Monday, is $50. And then after that, it's walk-in, or you can register still online at the FarmDoc website. But the registration fee goes up to $65. The other note is that, as you may have figured out by now, I told you that we'd be talking to Daryl Good, actually, about the new price plateau and whether he thinks it'll still be around. I'll say this. I wrote the story this morning, thought I was running it this afternoon, but we'll take care of that tomorrow. The answer to that question is yes, and $450 and $1050 are probably the numbers he'd like to work with over the coming year. But those things change as the economic side of the factors change in New York and around the globe. On the line with us this afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market, speaking of economics, is Matt Blaisdell up at the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, let's start out with the ethanol side of your facility up there. Still being able to run ethanol profitably or at not much of a loss, one of the two?
Yeah. As a company, I was able to, we're probably at least the first quarter have a decent crush margin on. Spot returns still come back a little bit profitable to neutral to a little bit negative, just depending on the day and what the natural gas and the corn market and oil does on those particular days. But right now, it's not a very profitable endeavor, and we probably won't see plants being built like we did 2 years ago.
Yeah, does this mean you're slow crush down there or not?
You know, that is something that we will have to look at. Margins don't return, say, here in the next 2 to 3 months. That's the one thing we'll have to look at as a company. Is right now we're running at 10 to 15% over our nameplate. Do we ratchet that down to 80% and just minimize the bleeding?
All right, then tell me about the cash grain market in the area.
Right now we're still seeing basis improve. Why people have been switching over to the March futures. In doing so, did take up their basis here a couple cents. Most are getting covered, here through the December holiday time frame, but there are some people who still are caught short in that time frame, and you can tell they're really poking their heads up and are paying some pretty good values even over the March just to get their coverage met here near term, and then are probably going to fade back and see if they can buy it cheaper here once we get into the first of the year and see and hopefully influx of corn move here in January.
And finally, your bids for the day?
Corn here in the Climbers, we're at 340. Beans in the Delphi at 810.
Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
Matt Blaisdell is with the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. We talked to him on Wednesday afternoons about the cash grain market at 2 minutes. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather with Drew Lerner. Stay with us. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's National Ice Cream Box Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1838, Cleveland Abbey was born. A U.S. astronomer and meteorologist, he is considered the father of the U.S. Weather Bureau. The Weather Service was authorized by Congress on February 9, 1870. and Abby joined the following January, bringing skills as the only person in the country with experience drawing weather maps from telegraphic reports and forecasting from them. In 1842, Ellen Swallow Richards was born. An American chemist, she was one of the founders of the home economics movement in the U.S. In 1910, George Claude first demonstrated his new invention, the neon light, at the Paris Motor Show. And in 1984, the world's worst industrial disaster occurred in Bhopal, India. Over 40 tons of poisonous gas leaked out of a Union Carbide pesticide factory. About 3,800 were killed, and over 300,000 people suffered acute respiratory problems, burning eyes and vomiting. An independent investigation showed a strong possibility of employee sabotage as a cause of the disaster, although it has never been proved. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Joining us for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, a little reprieve. Got some warmth, but we're headed back into the icebox, I hear.
Yes, I think that's true. We've got a couple of waves of cool air coming at us. The first one is obviously already well underway across the western Corn Belt. We'll be pushing through the eastern areas as we go through the afternoon and into the night tonight. We'll see some snow, a little bit of rain, and rain changing to snow occurring as the leading edge of this cold air mass moves across the region. It'll be kind of breezy out there as well. So, yeah, we are basically in a replay of what we've seen in the past as these cold air masses come pushing through the region. They always seem to come with a little bit of light precipitation and wind, and it reminds us of what time of the year it is. This particular disturbance will go ahead and pass through most of the Midwest by the time we get to Friday morning. And the winds will be a lot lighter on Friday, and then we'll turn around and bring yet another little clipper into the region that will bring on some additional light snowfall and another reinforcing shot of cool air. That system will show up on Saturday, actually late Friday in the northwestern Corn Belt, and then during the day on Saturday across the heart of the Midwest. Once again, a little shot of snow coming and some more breezy conditions. And yet another system will show up as we get into the early part of next week. The real cold air, though, may hold off until we get to the latter part of next week. Going into the following weekend at that time, it could get pretty nasty out there. We'll need to keep a close eye on the charts for that. We could end up with a fairly decent amount of snow preceding a very intense cold air mass.
Boy, one cold air mass after another kind of reminds me of last spring and the late winter when we started to get rainfall. We called it persistent then. Are we setting up for a similar type of function with cold air this time around?
Yeah, I do think we are. There's a number of reasons for this pattern, and those reasons are going to be with us all the way through the winter season. We may have a little period in late December, more likely in early January, where we'll break out of this pattern for a brief period of time. We'll fall back into it, though, in the latter part of winter. And you mentioned spring, and I'll go ahead and suggest that we'll probably have a pretty cool first part of spring again, and we may run into some trouble with perhaps planting running behind schedule once again. That's something to keep an eye on. We also have a developing La Nina event, and that will help to reinforce that whole scenario along with wet weather. So something to keep an eye on. It could still change, but that's where we're headed, I think.
Spring a ways away here, but finishing up, if you're in South America, how are they faring?
South America is temporarily improved tremendously in Argentina. The situation there a week or so ago was pretty downright dry, but it did start raining, and they ended up with some pretty significant amounts of precipitation. The soil is saturated or nearly saturated in a large part of their production region, but it is only a temporary situation. We are going to see net drying over this next 10 days, and Argentina will eventually turn a little bit too dry once again, so we'll keep an eye on that. In the meantime, southern Brazil is also trending a little bit drier than usual, and that is going to be with us for a while. This, by the way, is very typical of those years in which La Nina starts to develop at this time of the year. So the eastern part of Argentina, Paraguay, Uruguay, and southern Brazil will be fighting a below-average precipitation bias through a fair amount of the summer.
Thanks much, Drew.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Wednesday afternoons. You have a very good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.